The University Tower Chimes bring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, from the first organization, it's Dan Maggio.
Hi, Matt.
How are you doing, Dan?
Good. I'm very good.
Thanks for bringing quite possibly the best cake I've ever eaten in my entire life.
Yep.
Wow.
If you're in Ferndale, I must stop and get something from there. Get their chocolate, salted caramel chocolate cake. You will thank me later.
I guess.
Okay.
If they took it off the sign, I didn't even notice.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Food as well.
Signs anymore, right?
Said the man whose doodles stare back at us from 696 every time we drive by 696 in Southfield. It's Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
What do you mean?
What are we talking about?
So the phone doctor logo was designed
in Southfield
by Dave Chow, and the phone doctor is a man with the classic reflector and holding a phone, and it's part of their gigantic like glowing sign logo. And every time you drive by, you see Dave's doodle.
I did not know that.
That's why.
Absolutely.
Wow. Cool.
Among other things in town that we won't talk about much. So
you get royalties every time.
Oh, heck no! You can't. Yeah, right. Huh? Dan, can I get my nickel now?
Nickel.
If I got a nickel for every car that drove by that, I'd be filthy stinking rich. So I wish. It's a living.
Give us another example without revealing too much of something that we've seen that's your handiwork.
Well, I think you guys saw the thing I posted on Facebook. I did the Bullet launch.
Right. Yes.
The new Ranger, the new Bronco. I got new Dodge ads coming out. Supposedly, I'm in queue for an Eminem music video again, so we'll see.
Oh, nice.
It's a living.
Fame.
Nah. I like the fact that I can go to the store at 3:30 in the morning and not get jumped. No, seriously, that happened once when I was working for Marshall Mathers. And his studio isn't maybe a block and a half away from the 7-Eleven, and he wanted a Snickers bar. And I'm sorry, I'm working. I can't go, he couldn't find anybody in the store to go get him a Snickers bar. Because, he's not, if he goes out there on the streets, he's going to get mobbed. That's
probably,
all.
Probably.
So anyway, he tried to find an assistant to go get him a Snickers bar, and the poor guy couldn't do it. So,
poor guy.
I mean, that's the price of fame. I mean, you got people jumping out of the bushes, paparazzi and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like,
guy just wanted a Snickers?
Yeah. I don't know if I'd want that. It's just, I like to be able to go and Myers at 3:30 in the morning if I want to and not have to worry about anything. Or God forbid I don't have makeup on or, not that I do, but. With this face. Oh, so.
Kendra Evans is here with us as well.
Hi.
Trying to come up with a segue here. Let's see. There was a while there where we were driving around town and we saw Professor Evans on billboards at some point. Yes.
Uh-huh.
I was on a billboard.
And you see her at Detroit Mercy's TV commercials, which are,
I really didn't know I was on a billboard.
Yeah.
I really found out right now.
Yes.
I did see the commercial, but there was another one that I didn't see yet.
How does it feel to be famous?
Yeah.
I think it feels mostly the same. Yeah, mostly the same. But after the recording, so after the showing of those commercials and the recording of this show on the PBS program, which was clearly a very wide hit, my PhD advisor wrote me, and because he had seen me on TV close in succession, it was within 2 weeks of each other or something, and he's like, who is your agent?
Right.
Kendra, what about that commercial I sent to you the other day?
Oh, that's that you in it?
No, it's not.
It does
that
look
actor's
like you,
also
though.
In a Dodge commercial too. I've been noticed several times.
Is this your doppelganger?
It is.
Yes.
And ask Kendra, how close is it?
It's very, I could see you're really not the same person, but it's a very close resemblance. You could easily be what is that called? Like the person on set, that stage?
The stunt double?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The body double?
The body double.
Yeah.
Oh my, now the segue is already out there. I just have to go and grab it.
Who's Heather's body double?
Has been on multiple billboards in the time I've been here advertising the university.
Mm.
8 Mile and Woodward at least once.
What?
And 96 at least once, I want to say.
I don't believe you were on a billboard that year, too.
Maybe.
I've seen Professor Mayo on a billboard.
You were pointing at something on the board. Wasn't that what you were doing? You were kind of.
Yeah, I don't remember what you were doing.
I don't remember what I was doing.
I don't know, but when I interviewed here, the provost said, you met with Matt. He's our billboard man.
Oh, God.
Well, Matt was moonlighting that night to make a couple of extra bucks.
Yeah, Olivia was really little then, and we'd drive by, and she'd say, good night, Mommy.
That's how long ago it was.
I love it. I love
it. I have to say, I was on the billboard, too, when I was in the production of It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes.
Aww.
It was fun. I had a great time related. With the kids.
Yeah. It sounded great.
It was wonderful.
But
it's a good show.
We'll see. I mean, I don't know if we'll do it again.
He said it's on the list to be considered for the future, but probably not next year. That's what he said.
Are we talking Redford Theater?
No, Greg Grobitz.
For the theater. Theater.
Oh, my. I'm that, sorry, of course.
It's a Wonderful Life.
I thought Sumner.
Oh, no. It was yep. Greg Grobitz. Sorry.
Yep.
Very and cool. Weren't you, who was it, Suzu? Or who was it? Who did you play? I can't remember.
Well, it's a in studio radio version. So I played
multiple.
I didn't play Mary, but I played pretty much all the other female characters. So you play an actress of the time period on the radio show who does the voices for the live studio audience of all of the other primary female roles in
gotcha. Okay.
What we now know as the movie.
Very cool. Yeah, I remember you saying you were Zuzu.
Yes,
You weren't like Old Man Potter or anything
And I was kind of the floozy girl.
Well, what's her name? Violet.
Her name, Violet. Yes. Hello, Georgie Porgy.
That was nice.
Oh,
that
was she good. Was a floozy. Wow.
Do people use that word anymore?
No, she wasn't a floozy necessarily. But Dave Kokel, I used to do that like when we were sitting in MFA meetings next to each other while it was going on. Hello, Georgie Porgy. You go. I put more on it than that.
How much more syrupy can you get?
Oh, much more.
Oh, dear Lord.
As you know.
I
was on
know.
Stage.
I don't know.
It was fun. It was a lot of work. I trust Mark. I had a good time. I had a good time with Arthur Beer and some of the student actors.
Speaking of him, when are we getting him back on the air?
That's a good question. We'll work on art. But until then, we'll tell our listeners that this is a program. You can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win an autographed photograph of the Ask the Professor panel and the ATP mug. And if you don't stump the panel, you can win a prize too, the autographed photograph. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/ATP or find us on Facebook. When last we were together, we had some questions from Judy Palmer. Got a handful more left here, about five or six. They were all over the map, and they were quite enjoyable. They got us talking about all sorts of stuff. She's added to the end of her question list. I'll try to come up with more questions soon.
Thank you,
please
Judy.
Do.
Appreciated.
In what year were the first civilian Jeeps available for purchase by the public?
62.
Ooh, it's way before that.
I don't know.
59.
It says here 45, so Dan's the closest so far.
So that's literally right after the war, you can get one surplus?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Oh, because I just remember that one MASH episode where Radar was sending it piece by piece. You know,
oh, that's
sending
right.
It home.
That's right.
So cool.
So they sold actually Jeeps from the Army, literally surplus Jeeps from the Army.
I'm not quite sure. It doesn't really, it says first civilian Jeeps.
Do we still see those on the road?
During the Dream Cruise, yeah.
They must be around.
Uh-huh,
they
have
made like, you know.
A gazillion of them.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
So what would you have qualified as being a long time before 19th?
I'm just giving you trouble.
That's a given.
Why, according to popular logic / urban legend, did Walt Disney forbid Alfred Hitchcock from filming anything in or around Disneyland?
Didn't he have a feud with him or something?
He did.
Yeah,
I believe it was about this, yeah.
Oh, there's something very specific about
something
the feud.
Relatively
oh.
specific.
Did he steal an idea?
Nope, it was not that.
Did he not want him to necessarily catch on tape where the secret passages were for the workers?
Nope.
You know what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
No, actually, Hitchcock made something that Disney found, quote, a disgusting movie, unquote.
Oh, so one of his movies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of them are kind of disturbing to a certain degree. Yeah. I mean, but that's part of the charm, isn't it?
At the time, the most over the top of them was
the birds.
Psycho?
Psycho.
Psycho. What it says here.
Okay. What? He didn't like the blood gore. I mean, he did. For the lack of a better word, didn't he do it in a tasteful kind of way where you never saw the knife going into the body compared to today?
Again, I believe those are some 2018 eyes.
That's
you're
true,
using
yeah.
right now. Who is the lead singer of the Jay Giles Band?
Oh, what's his name? Peter.
Yeah. Peter and the.
Peter. What?
Peter and the.
Wolf.
Yep, Peter Wolf.
Peter Wolf, that's right. Didn't one of the members die recently?
It may have been Peter Wolf.
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, I can't remember.
Kendra is making a face.
There have been so many questions that I have never heard in my life.
You never heard of
Jay Giles? Content.
That's her way of just saying she's so young.
You must have heard of Jay Giles.
I'm the youngest one here.
No.
Freeze frame?
What's the song?
Centerfold?
I'll send you some videos. Go ahead. I'll check on the Google.
Okay.
Centerfold.
When we all break, I'll play the video.
Okay, see, I remember.
Angels in the Centerfold?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I know that song. Yeah,
there you go.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, see, for me growing up, I remember listening to Electrifying Mojo late at night, and he would follow, like, Prince.
What about King Biscuit Flower Hour?
Maybe. But, you know, Mojo would play, like, Prince, B-52s, Kraftwerk, and Jay Giles. And
yeah, but then how do you know, like, who is a lead singer and whatnot? Like, it is trivia.
I remember they played in Detroit. They played in Detroit regularly.
I mean, you are young.
They love play. You know, I remember they love.
If you follow music, you would know that too. I don't follow music as much, so I probably don't know the names.
I had a fresh mind back then. I could absorb things. Right now, I'm useless.
Thank
what I would
for
say
helping
is
me rationalize my ignorance.
No, I mean, I just think, you know, you may know the song, but it doesn't mean you should know the names of.
So
all
you have
the
to think of them in terms of chemicals. So, what P is potassium? No, K is potassium. What's P?
Phosphorus.
Phosphorus, and what's W? Is there a W?
Tungsten.
Tungsten? So think of it as
tungsten.
Phosphorus, yum, tungsten.
Yum. I mean, honestly, if you were to ask me to remember numbers, I go off of baseball and hockey player numbers. Like, my wedding anniversary is Gordie Howe with Steve Yzerman.
Mm-hmm.
My wedding anniversary is 7-Eleven. That's the easiest one to remember.
See, there you go. But again, you have a mnemonic for remembering things. That's all.
So I would, as we often do when we come across interesting side things here, challenge our listeners to send us a set of questions based on a certain theme. And I'm going to say, I challenge our listeners to come up with a set of questions that Kendra knows top to bottom.
It's quite the challenge.
All things Kentucky, right?
You know, I miss Kentucky history, Kentucky, though. That's
all
the
things
funny
marching
thing
band. Oh,
marching band, I might be able to contribute a bit. I'm not sure.
What are the three bodies of water that separate the island of Ireland from the island of Great Britain?
North Sea.
Where's Jim Tubbs when we need him?
It's actually called the North Channel.
North Channel. Okay. The Irish Channel.
Irish Sea.
Sea.
And last but most certainly not least, way up by Scotland.
The Scottish Sea.
It's named after a saint, an important saint to the Brits.
Patrick.
Mm-mm.
Oh,
say,
wrong thing.
Oh,
Brits.
John.
Nope.
Paul.
Lewis.
He slew the dragon.
George.
St. George's Channel. St. George's Channel.
Oh.
What was Al Capone's middle name? How are we supposed to know that?
Alphonse.
Very, very
something.
Italian. Very, very Italian.
Giovanni. Marcellio.
You know,
Enzo.
Lorenzo. I like it.
Mio.
Shares a name with an archangel.
Michael?
Nope.
An archangel.
Peter?
Nope.
Are those actually archangels,
Gabriel,
by the way?
Michael, Gabriel. Gabriel. Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say Lucifer?
Yeah. Peter was not, but we got Gabriel. Professor Hill Vasquez, nail on the head. Who does the Roman Catholic Church consider the first pope? Il Papa Primero.
Matthew?
No.
Mark?
Nope.
Peter.
Peter. St. Peter.
Okay, I was wondering, like, mm-hmm. one of the big four.
St. Peter
George
as
Ringo.
Appointed by Jesus.
It's Ringo.
Yes. It's Ringo.
Pete Best
Pope,
is the answer.
Pope Ringo.
Last but most certainly not least, thanks again for these questions, Judy. These have been great. There's a company that trades on the New York Stock Exchange, and its symbol is SIX, 6. What company is that?
Church of Satan.
No.
It's
a company with the word six in its title.
Six Sigma?
No, but that's a good guess.
There's a company I have a loot name. I know that's a statistical.
It's an
six.
Entertainment company.
Not like Sony or Apple, Google.
It has six in it?
It does. Yep.
By itself or as part of a larger word?
Part of a larger title.
Interesting.
Can you spell the larger word? We're at this point, we're like, we don't know it.
No, what I mean is the name of the company has multiple words, and one of them is six.
I gotcha.
Oh, okay.
Six something.
Entertainment company.
Yes.
Six Flags.
Six Flags.
Oh, that was really good.
Because I'm thinking like movie studios. I'm like, there's no...
Those places are so fun.
Yeah. Or music even. I'm like,
you guys cracked me up.
I believe they do have enough money to participate in those trading ventures and whatnot because it is expensive to go there.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, what's the price of a ticket for like Disney or
I don't know.
$60?
No, it's like 100. Yeah, I was going to say.
Really?
Yeah.
Everything's getting expensive.
Yes.
So thanks for those questions. We'll move on.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
The University of Detroit Tower Chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio program on which you match wits with University of Detroit professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. Questions today about Melville, Charles Dickens, Tolstoy, and the Cambrian rocks. How's that? Today's panel, I'm the man with all of the questions and most of the answers, Bill Raby. On my right, history professor Frederick H. Hayes.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Professor Hayes. On my left, Russell McLaughlin of the University of Detroit Green Room Programs.
How do you do, I'm sure?
Yes. Thank you, Professor McLaughlin. And our middleman again, Professor John Mahoney of the University of Detroit English Faculty.
With approval of that, certainly. How do you do?
All of the questions used on this program are submitted by listeners. If you stump the experts, you will receive a subscription to a national magazine, The Atlantic, Harper's, or America. Now, this message from the University of Detroit. Thank you. This question is from Carl Budd, B-U-D-D, of Detroit, Michigan. Actually, he sent three questions, and again, we warn the listener, if you're going to send three, send them all in one batch.
You can't divide 16 by 3.
No, but you can divide the sheets on which he writes them into three.
Yeah, but each one was sent in a separate envelope, you see.
Yeah, so he's wasting 12 cents there.
Yeah. I see what you mean, Fred, yeah. I bow to that brilliant piece.
Send them all in one envelope.
Brilliant piece of economic mathematics.
In Charles Dickens' Pickwick Papers, what was the name of the law firm which represented the plaintiff, Mrs. Bardell?
Oh, that was, wait a minute, the, give me a little tiny clue, will you?
Well, you may have a little trouble seeing the whole thing clearly. It may be sort of misted over.
Dim and dimmer.
Wait a minute, just, will you give me the first name of the firm?
Dodson.
These questions.
Dodson and Fogg. Right. Dodson and Fogg.
All right, half credit for that.
Oh, and by the way, we just slaughtered those questions
okay.
that Judy sent in. I'm giving us a full pass on
wow.
those. We got some questions from Pat Higo of University Libraries. While looking for something else... I came across information on the Detroit Windsor Tunnel. Let's see if you guys know these questions. We just took
I've
a question
it, so.
About that. Yeah. How long is the tunnel from portal to portal?
1.2
miles.
It says 1 mile here. I mean, both of those are within the error bars, as far as I'm concerned.
Was that the error bars as defined by you or Heather?
did Heather?
No comment.
Heather defined the error bars.
Well, it's 50%.
How many months did it take to build?
How many months?
Yes.
9.
36.
Not 9, not 36. Side note, 10 months quicker than had been budgeted.
24.
Wow.
24?
So 26.
26, yeah.
Somebody 26. Had a hot date.
So I actually guessed the budget didn't. I think I get credit for
it. Oh, yeah. That's a good
sure.
point.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Dan's
absolutely.
A bitter.
Yeah. What was the total cost of the tunnel construction in 1930 dollars?
$50 million.
Three
it was less.
$3 million.
More.
Oh.
$10 million.
More.
$10 million.
$50 billion.
Billion.
This is really reminding me of, yes, exactly, Austin Powers for our listeners.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to have 36 again.
Lower.
12.
27.9.
25. Close enough.
25?
So, FYI, $25 million, Heather awesome. Said it, in 1930 dollars. How many dollars is that in 2016 dollars?
Okay, all right, okay, hold on.
$750 million.
No, probably
a little high.
A billion?
36.
No, just $300
million. $300
million? Oh.
I thought we had more inflation than that.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that would seem like pretty cheap to do what they had to do.
No kidding.
Or, well, it depends also on technology too, wouldn't it? Possibly? I don't know. Or is it just dollar amount converted?
Probably just dollar amount.
Okay.
Because I'm just thinking. Rebid it? This...
I don't know.
Yawn.
Who was the Detroit mayor who dedicated the tunnel?
Heinz Pingree?
No, it wasn't Hyson Pingree.
It was a decidedly
Irish-sounding name.
Oh, I remember, we've had these questions before, Dan.
I don't remember that.
Not Callahan or somebody like that. Where's Greg Sumner when we need him?
He would know.
Patrick somebody?
Good guess. No.
I always go with James.
Don't forget Patrick. About Francis. Frank...
Murphy.
Frank Murphy.
Oh, sure.
Famous mayor.
Yeah, the only reason I said Dan and I wouldn't know because during some of those Detroit trivia questions, remember? List all the mayors and say, we lost our minds.
Who was the Windsor mayor at the time the tunnel was dedicated? First name is the same name of the Detroit Tigers slugger from the later 80s, early 90s.
Norman.
Nope.
Cecil.
Cecil. And last name, same as a centrally located Michigan city, oft associated with Mr. Ted Nugent.
What?
Waco?
Cecil.
Where does he hang out? Where does Ted Nugent hang out?
Grayling?
I don't know.
He hangs out in Jackson. It's okay, Cecil Jackson.
Cecil Jackson.
Sure. That sounds like
Cecil.
That's a good Canadian name if I ever heard one.
I thought that would be too obvious, Cecil.
Not at all.
Okay.
Or if you want to go back to the Detroit 80s, we can talk about... do you guys remember that one perfume brand, Cecile's?
No.
Okay, nobody remembers that.
I know. I remember it.
Yeah, remember those god-awful commercials? Yeah, she used to like rattle off like a mile a minute, 20 words a second.
Sure.
Yeah, she had a place up at Teltow Mall.
And at Woodward in 14, basically. Yep. So President Hoover participated in the dedication, but he wasn't there. What did he do?
He loaned us the Studebaker.
Good call.
Did he?
Good call. No, but that's not what it
darn.
Is.
Darn.
How can you participate and not be here?
Could he turn down the lights?
Did he send a note?
Did he call?
Was he alive?
He sent a note.
He was alive.
He ordered a pizza.
He sent the bottle of champagne.
Nope.
He sent a representative.
He sent his wife.
Nope.
Well, I mean, if he sent somebody in this place, he wasn't present.
He did. He definitely did not send somebody.
How did he
participate? He flew over.
Nope.
It was just above
us. He swam through.
That's pretty good for a submerged tunnel.
He on a boat?
No, you know what happened?
No, tell us.
At the end of the oratory, he pressed a golden button at the White House that started bells ringing throughout the tunnel.
Oh.
That is the weirdest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yeah, let's humor him. The wires go nowhere. Yeah, that's what Michael does with our microphones anyway.
Exactly.
So
he pushed the button.
He pushed the golden button.
He pushed the button. Ring the bells. Ring the bells.
Just tell him it rang.
What is the maximum depth of the tunnel below the Detroit River? Hint, it is not a very maximum depth.
1,200 feet.
Yeah. 800 feet.
Whoa, I was going to go
No, I mean, what am I saying?
I think it's feet.
The Detroit River is one of the shallowest waterways on the planet Earth.
And there's actually a map.
35 feet.
No, way less.
80 or 90.
Way less.
80 or 90 feet, isn't it?
25.
It's more than 25, but you're the closest so far.
50.
Higher.
62.
Higher.
100.
It says 75 feet.
Okay, because I should know this, because actually, Dan, you might know this. Do you know...
I don't have an appreciation for river depths.
No, there's actually a map. There's a dredge map over in Canada.
That's right. That's right.
Was it St. Cedric's, that one halibut place I go to in Windsor? It's got a dredge map of the Detroit River.
No, I've seen that before because they have the same one at the Sioux.
Yes.
It's a relief map that shows how deep.
We have officially crossed over into true nerddom.
Well, were we before?
No, this is like, okay,
uh-oh.
I don't know.
We're getting our PhD in nerddom right about now?
I don't know. Maybe I'm just... I think we used all our brain cells on Judy Palmer's question.
Yeah, I think we might have. I think we might have.
Thanks, Judy.
On Reddit the other day, they have
a little warm in here.
It's true. We're losing our minds.
Blame the heat.
There was a, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Reddit TIL. It means Today I Learned, and I subscribed to this. And they had, if Lake Superior was emptied out over the continental United States, it could cover the entire landmass about a foot and a half. That is one deep lake, if you think about it.
Cool.
That is crazy.
Not that there's anything wrong with being nerdish.
No.
I'm quite the nerd myself.
Okay, tell us something you're nerdy about that it's on par with Detroit history / tunnels.
I'm on spot.
You're on the spot.
No pressure.
I mean, I know Harry Potter, but that's almost like acceptable nerdiness.
I feel like I'm nerdy because I don't know Harry Potter.
There was an article in the Sunday New York Times this past Sunday about about in Sault Ste. Marie where the locks are.
Oh, and they drained them?
The ice crushing boats. I was just like so fascinated by this, and I was trying to explain it to Mark, you know, during morning coffee, and he's like, "Man, you are such a nerd." I'm like, "But it's so cool!" And they it's like they slice down through the ice, and he's like, "Okay."
Icebreaker geekiness.
I thought that was really cool. No. I said, "I go watch that." And he says, "It's like freezing," and I'm like, "I don't care. It's so cool."
Let's all drive to the Sioux.
Close observation deck. You can kind of watch out.
Really?
By the locks, yeah.
Even in the right now, like in the winter?
Well, I don't know if it's actually open. I mean, it seems like a public spot.
She's on sabbatical.
Well, the locks are
she can go anywhere.
Closed.
Yeah, I want to see a boat, like, break ice. And saw down through it. I think it's cool. It. Anyway, that was the first thing that popped into my mind.
You would very much enjoy one of the coolest local documentaries I've ever seen made that talks about how the people on Mackinac live. After winter hits, without the ice bridge to St. Ignace, there's no way, because the boats can't get through the straits, for them to go back and forth. But once it gets like deep enough or thick enough, the ice, that they can actually get on their snowmobile and go get stuff.
Yeah, and what is it? Don't they also Don't they also put Christmas trees out there or something like that?
They do, to mark the path.
To mark the path back
to St. Ignace.
So I wonder
if worst came to worst, if they can get like a helicopter to do like a drop.
I'm assuming they could.
They have a little, you know, you're talking about Mackinac Island. They have a little airport. I sat one time by the lady on the plane whose husband is the superintendent of their schools.
Oh, wow.
And it was very interesting, and she was telling us all about it. And I was like, wow, we have such luxuries in suburban Detroit. Okay.
Now, I need to go up there because you know they got a pirate ship up there now.
What?
Really?
They got a pirate ship.
On the water?
Yeah, to ferry people back and forth. It's a pirate-themed ferry.
You're kidding.
No.
With Errol Flynn?
I don't know, maybe.
ABCDEF.
Do you have to talk like that?
Yeah.
I'd ride it.
Wait, where did you I go up there every year, not to Mackinac, but...
It's the Mackinac. I remember I saw him go, Mars, we got to go, because, you know, I went for the first time last year. Oh, so.
Pirate ship.
A pirate ship. That Enzo Emmett. Joe would love it.
Yeah, I bet they would.
They'd probably charge a premium.
I also get really excited when I see bats flying.
Bats are cool.
Yeah.
Not so much during the winter.
See, I want to get a bat house.
You should put a bat house in your yard.
I have a bat house.
Oh,
and
good. That's good.
Occupants?
No, it's good for the environment.
Yeah, and it helps get rid of some of the mosquitoes.
Yes, it does.
Does it draw the bats out of your attic?
Or your belfry?
No, I still think I have them.
you want to say
you better
the actual reason why you're talking about that, Professor Evans?
Okay, anyway.
Oh, they're
going no, bats are fine.
My nerdy answer.
No, that's a good one. That's a good one. Actually, I believe to some extent because of the ice bridge comment that I share your ice nerdiness.
Cool.
I share it with you. Absolutely.
I'm proud.
Well,
what do we do
on the show again? It's time to say goodbye, Heather.
Goodbye,
Kendra.
Goodbye,
Dave.
See ya,
Dan.
Goodbye.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at Ask the Professor, or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM, or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education, the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.